Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Digital Equipment second quarter financial results teleconference. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, you will need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Nikki Richardson. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Digital's Q2 financial results teleconference. With me this morning are Bob Palmer, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Vin Malarkey, our Chief Financial Officer. The format of the call will be short presentations by Bob and Vin, followed by a question and answer period. Please remember that our time for questions and answers is fairly short, and limit yourself to one question plus a related follow-up question so that everyone who wants to can participate. And now I'll turn the conference over to Bob Palmer.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to share some of the key highlights of our second quarter results before Vin covers them in more detail. Then both of us will be available to take your questions. We have a positive story to share with you this morning. For the second quarter of fiscal 1995, we reported net income of $18.9 million, or 7 cents per common share, compared with a net loss of $72.1 million, or 53 cents per common share, for the same period last year. Total operating revenues for the quarter were $3.473 billion, up 7% from the $3.254 billion reported for the comparable quarter a year ago. Product revenues were up 13% in the quarter to $1.87 billion from $1.66 billion in the second quarter of last year. This represents the third consecutive quarter of year-over-year product revenue growth. Service revenues were up slightly year-over-year as well, to $1.603 billion from $1.594 billion in the similar period last year. Our product order rate showed strong growth in the quarter, which is the fourth consecutive quarter of year-over-year order rate growth. And we ended the quarter with an employee population of 65,600, down 8,200, or 11%, from the 73,800 at the end of Q1 fiscal 95. This includes 3,100 employees transferred in connection with our storage divestment activities. Over the past 12 months, our employee population is down a total of 21,900 worldwide, or 25% from a population of 87,500. With today's announcements, we have reached one of our most aggressive interim goals, and that is to have achieved operating profitability by the end of calendar year 1994. We're very pleased by our progress during the second quarter. The various changes that we've made over the past 2 years, and most significantly over the past 6 months, have resulted in our overall revenue growth and a more competitive cost structure. 6 months ago, I described our plan to transform the culture and structure of Digital Equipment Corporation through the elimination of functional matrix management and the creation of highly focused business units. Today's results are an indication of the efficacy of that approach. However, no one at Digital is complacent. We're all aware that we still have more work to do. Going forward, management will continue to focus on sustainable profitability, continued cost discipline, generation of cash from operations, and revenue growth. I'm looking forward to continuing progress, and as I said in our formal release, I am confident that we are on the right track toward building a vital, energized, and profitable Digital Equipment Corporation. Now I'll turn the call over to Vin Malarkey, our Chief Financial Officer, who will go into some more of the details about the second quarter's financial results. Vin?
Thank you, Bob. Good morning. Achieving an operating profit this quarter is a significant element of our fiscal year 95 plan, an objective that Bob set some 9 months ago, and one which the entire company successfully rallied around, with nearly all units of the company meeting expectations. I'll now elaborate on some of the key points that Bob has made. First, our domestic and international order rate was up, as Bob said, for the fourth consecutive quarter. We had very strong growth in both the United States as well as Asia Pacific. With the exception of two markets, our growth in Europe was also strong. These two countries, France and Germany, made good progress on their restructuring programs and will soon be well-positioned to return to profitable growth. I'm pleased to report that we experienced solid revenue growth in all of our key product areas this past quarter. In total, our product revenues grew 13% this being the third quarter of year-over-year growth. This growth rate is even higher if one was to take into account businesses that we have recently divested from. We continue to see significant demand and growth in the Alpha product line, particularly with the Unix sales area, which grew by 100% on a year-over-year basis, with many of this coming from new accounts. Additionally, relative to our PC business in Q2, strong growth has continued and has reached a level for the total calendar year of 100% growth versus calendar year 93. Service revenues grew slightly compared with the comparable quarter last year. This improvement is due mainly to increased stability in our traditional customer base, as well as continued market acceptance of our industry-leading multi-vendor service offering. Let me now move to gross margins. At the end of quarter four, I indicated increased confidence in our ability to stabilize and then improve gross margins. In quarter two, we achieved a 33% gross margin, which is an improvement of 3 points. This is a result of focused business leadership throughout the corporation, through which a number of gross margin improvement programs have been successfully implemented. For the second quarter, our program of broadening our reach to more customers has progressed quite well. For quarter two, indirect sales represented 58% of product sales versus 43% a year ago. Additionally, we achieved an improvement in our quarter two expense level. Total operating expenses decreased 10% compared with the same period last year. This represents a 6-point improvement as a percentage of total operating revenues. I'm pleased with the strength of our balance sheet and continue to be confident that we will achieve step function improvement in our operating assets in the quarters ahead. As you may recall, our plan to fund restructuring included several key elements: improving our accounts receivable position, reducing capital spending, improving inventory returns, divesting from non-strategic assets, and generating cash from operations. Cash on hand was $1.132 billion, up $251 million from quarter one. The net effect of our cash management actions is that our cash situation is improving as a percentage of total assets. I'm confident through these programs this will continue in the quarters ahead. Overall business unit performance was good, with nearly all units exceeding their commitments. Of particular note was a very significant improvement turned by our core systems business. In summary, solid progress is being made. Top-line growth continues as we reestablish and expand market share. Gross margins have stabilized and are now improving. Operating expenses continue to be reduced, and our balance sheet strengthens. We will now take your questions.
Christian, would you begin the polling, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, you will need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be polled in the order they are received. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your polling request, you may do so by pressing the 1 followed by the 3 on your push-button phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. One moment, please, for the first question. Terry Shannon, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Good morning. This is Terry Shannon from Illuminata. I have a question for Mr. Palmer. Congratulations on achieving what seemed to be a nearly impossible goal 9 months ago. It appears to us that the increasing acceptance of the Alpha product line is a major contributor to Digital's profitability. Can you provide us with more insight into the growth rates of the sales of AXP workstations and servers?
Yes, Terry, thank you. It continues very strong. It's more than 150% growth year over year in the Alpha AXP, and it's just been very well received. We've got probably the strongest line of products in servers and workstations that we've ever had in the corporation's history going into this calendar year, and I think that it's quite remarkable. I was looking at our historical data, and it was interesting. It took 5 years for the VAX to equal our PDP-11 family in revenues when it was introduced. And, of course, everyone knows how successful the VAX came on. Alpha has gone in 2 years to more than, or approximately twice, rather, the VAX revenues in 2 years, just unprecedented. So We're really quite excited about the receptive nature of the marketplace for that product, and you know, we're quite optimistic about it continuing.
Okay, thank you.
Molly Williams, please state your company name followed by your question.
Bloomberg Business News. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about what you're expecting for the next two quarters. Are you expecting to remain profitable and report profits in the final two quarters of fiscal 1995, and will there be any more losses?
Well, as you know, we don't make forecasts in terms of future anything, really, since the future is, by definition, unknowable. Our policy is to focus on what we can control and what we do know, and we do know, as I said in my remarks, that we're going to stay focused on cost controls, on all of the restructuring that we announced 6 months ago. We're on plan. We're going to stay tightly focused on that, but we just don't forecast what is inherently not knowable. You can be sure, though, that each of the business unit managers within the company has a very aggressive plan, and the objective is to continue improvement by business unit. Next question, please.
Steve Burke, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Steve Burke, Computer Reseller News. Bob, you meant one of the details is that you guys had 58% indirect sales versus 43% a year ago. What's the goal there ultimately, Bob, and how many salesmen did you cut in the most recent, in the quarter?
The goal for the year is to achieve 63% through indirect channels, and the emphasis is not on cutting salesmen. The emphasis is on the reduction in the general and administrative infrastructure, and in some cases, support of those salespeople that we had in, redundantly throughout the world. So I don't think there's I don't know the specific answer to the question on salespeople, but that's not where the focus is. Of course, there's ongoing pruning of non-performers and that sort of thing in all of our functions. But the real emphasis on population reductions are on infrastructure.
Yep. Can you mention, Bob, just a little bit how important it is to go to push hard into those indirect channels, why that's so important for the profitability effort?
Yes, it's important from a number of perspectives. For one thing, for the smaller accounts, that is accounts that are less than $1 million in revenue annually, you just really cannot afford to cover those accounts with a direct sales force in general. There are a few exceptions. Maybe there's an account that really is strategically growing, and we have a great expectation in the future. But in general, we had a lot of people covering accounts that were doing an average of $100,000 or less annually, and you just can't support it. On the other hand, at least with a direct sales force, on the other hand, our distributors and partners are set up to service exactly that kind of customer and to provide more service, as a matter of fact. And so the opportunity for Digital is to provide a higher level of service to that size account. The other thing is that our partners and distributors in the indirect channels reach a lot more customers than Digital was able to reach with its direct sales force. So our intention is to improve the service to those accounts and at the same time add new accounts to our customer base. So far, we're very pleased with the progress we've been making. We're exactly on plan in terms of that transition, and it enables us to increase the percent of our sales resources devoted to our top 1,000 accounts. And so I think that everything that we announced 6 or 7 months ago, six, I guess, in the restructuring of the company, the transformation to business unit focus, is on track with that regard, but it is very important that we continue. It'll be completed by the end of the fiscal year. That is, by the end of the fiscal year, we'll have the new accounts business unit totally in place, and we will have made the transition that we have been describing. Next question, please.
Martin LaMonica, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yeah, IDG News Service. Now that you're closing the Scottish Alpha production plant, can you meet the demand of alpha production in the States? And also, will you be able to maintain the investment levels and devote the resources for future alpha versions?
Let me correct our perception there. We're not closing the facility in Scotland. We have concluded a transaction whereby we are transferring the facility and all of the employees to Motorola, and they are paying us, of course, for that. The transaction will be completed at the end of the fiscal year. In the interim time, we are building some safety inventory, if you will. But in addition to that, part of the contract with Motorola provides that they will allocate appropriate capacity in the facility to meet Digital's requirements with sufficient flexibility on the upside that we don't anticipate any shortfall in integrated circuits necessary for our systems business. We're pretty confident about all of this because, as I mentioned, it'll be exactly the same people running the facility that are running it today. They'll just be working for Motorola rather than Digital. Over the longer term, this will help us because it will enable us to consolidate our worldwide production requirements in our newest facility, which is an 8-inch sub-micron facility here in Massachusetts. And so we're very pleased that we have Motorola as a partner in this transaction, and I feel comfortable that we'll be able to manage our requirements of integrated circuits. With respect to your second question, the investments in the semiconductor operation are mostly behind us in terms of that facility. That was a major $425 million capital investment program. We still have some to go, but most of it's behind us. The ongoing investments in research and development that are necessary, we believe that we can finance from our operations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next question, please.
William Bulkley, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, this is Bill Bulkley of the Wall Street Journal in Boston. This morning when you announced these results, your stock went up because they were higher than expected, but after the analyst call, the stock went down. What'd you tell the analysts that made them turn negative on this?
I have no idea how anybody projects what's going to happen in the stock market, but if I were sufficiently proficient at it, that might be another career. But I don't know what's happening with the stock even as I'm sitting here, but we are confident. What we're trying to do here is build long-term value in the enterprise, and I believe we're on a path to do that. The up and down fluctuations are hard to predict. I can't think of anything that we said that is materially different from our release, so I don't have any idea, frankly.
I mean, what you're saying to us certainly seems optimistic, but I just wondered if there was some question, whether you gave any indication to the analysts about either the third quarter or a slowdown in cost-cutting?
No, we didn't give any such indication. To the contrary, we were making sure everybody understands that although we're gratified by the hard work that our employees have turned in and the results they've achieved in the second quarter, that we were made quite committed to the conclusion of the transformation plan, which includes further attention to cost reductions and you know, all of the things that have to be done. We're very clear about that. But, you know, talking about the market, I was kind of amused to see that Chrysler yesterday reported record earnings that they've ever had in their history, more than $1 billion, you know, in the quarter, and the stock went down. So who can say? Besides, the market's only been open for 3 hours during the day with respect to the market. Anybody that watches it notices that it fluctuates rather widely during the day. Let's see how it closes. But most importantly, let's see over time how we increase shareholder value.
Okay, thanks.
Next question, please.
Maya Anoka, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, this is Maya Anoka from Computergram International. I'm just a little bit confused about the reported operating revenues being up 7%. I'm not sure I understand how that can be achieved given how much you've sold off over the last few months. So I was wondering if you could explain that to me, please.
Certainly. That was the actual growth, if you were to take into account the divestment activities of the last few months, would have been several points higher than the 7% that we referred to.
Okay. Righty-ho. So the remaining businesses that you have just done very well in the last quarter?
Quite well, particularly in the product arena, the Alpha AXP, the Alpha program that Barb referred to. And in fact, most of our product lines have done done quite well in meeting or exceeding our expectations.
About the Alpha line, you say that it's improved 150%. What is that in actual percentages now of your business?
It's more than 20% of our product revenue, which, as I mentioned 2 years ago, so it's gone from just zero to more than 20% of product revenues in 2 years, which, as far as I know, is pretty well unprecedented in the computer industry for a new hardware product.
Okay, thank you.
Next question, please.
Ken Johnson, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, Ken Johnson calling from the Eagle Tribune up in Lawrence. I was wondering, many analysts had projected that Digital ought to be a company that has a population of around 65,000, and you're very close to that right now. I wonder if you see any further staff reductions coming for the remainder of this year. Then I also have a question about your service businesses as well.
Okay, let me take the population question. I think that there will be some additional modest reductions throughout the year as we continue to manage our costs. We had stated that, I guess 6 months ago when we talked about the transformation plan, that we thought that the approximate right sizing, if you will, for Digital, at least for the end of the fiscal year, was about 60,000 employees, and I personally still think that's about right. But we don't run the company that way. We run it by business unit, and that is to say each business unit has a business model that they're striving to achieve, and there are puts and takes within each business unit. I still think it's in the right order of magnitude. So we've got about 65,600 employees at the end of the calendar year, and my expectation is it'll be closer to 60,000 by the end of our fiscal year in June. You had a question about services?
Yeah, in our area we have two plants that are primarily involved in your service businesses. Revenue growth in the service sector was just marginal. I'm wondering if you could have a little deeper explanation of what's going on there.
Yes, in the service business you have two. Let's talk about our multi-vendor customer services first, but in that there's two large phenomenon going on. Relative to the traditional maintenance and break-fix operations, those are increasingly competitive, and there is continuing margin pressure and has been for the last two or three years, and so we expect to see a pressure on revenues and margins in that side of the business. Offsetting that, I'm very pleased with the leadership that our multi-vendor customer services has had in becoming recognized as the leader in multi-vendor and software update services of all types. And so that piece of the business is growing very rapidly. And although it's a smaller piece of the total, because it's growing so rapidly, it's able to offset, at least it has been in this quarter, the decline in the more traditional business for the pressures I mentioned. So we achieved relatively flat, as you saw. It was up 1% or something. With respect to the other services the company provides around systems integration and that, we are consistently ranked as in the top five of systems integrators in distributed computing, probably higher than that. And so that piece of our business is very important in delivering part of our value proposition to our customers. And I'm optimistic about that piece of the business, and so that's a kind of a service overview. Services business, very important to Digital, represents about 46% of our revenue.
Great, thanks.
Next question, please.
Chris Wilson, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Mr. Palmer, it's Chris Wilson from Reuters. I understand your hesitation in making a forecast for earnings, but having, as you said, met and even exceeded your interim goal of achieving a profit at the operating level, can you tell us in what sort of time frame you expect to achieve sustained profit? Are you looking at a sustained profit in this fiscal year, in this calendar year? Can you just give us a little more of a time frame when you expect to sustain this profitability?
Well, we had said previously that our objective was to achieve sustained profitability by the end of the fiscal year, and I see nothing in these results that would dissuade me from being optimistic about that. But again, these are objectives, not forecasts. I mean, it's really impossible to know what might happen in the world that would upset the plans or, you know, that sort of thing. But in terms of our objectives internally, we set aggressive targets. As everybody has noted, the target that we set to achieve a profit from operations, or at least break even, by the end of the calendar year, at the time we set the target, was considered by analysts to be unachievable, extremely aggressive, and not likely to be achieved until the earliest at the end of the fiscal year. It was an aggressive target and could not have been achieved without all of Digital's employees understanding that that was the target and working to make their contribution to achieve it. I think it's very important that you set aggressive goals. You know, the thing is, when you set aggressive goals, there's also the risk that you'll miss those goals. This management team prefers to set aggressive goals and strive to meet them, and if there is a miss, I still prefer it to not setting aggressive goals. So I'm very encouraged. Don't make forecasts, but you can be sure that our goal here is to achieve sustainable profitability by the end of the fiscal year.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Aaron Zittner, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, Aaron Zittner at the Boston Globe. Are you still going to be selling off assets? And if so, where should we be looking for those sales?
Well, there are a number of ongoing dispositions of facilities throughout the world and various things that we have that are either underutilized or not utilized at all by Digital, or they are not strategic to our ongoing business. Aaron, I'm not aware of any divestitures being proposed at this time of the magnitude of the ones that we completed in the past. You know, we've had some large divestitures. Our storage business is one. Selling the facility in South Queens Ferry is another. The sale of our RDB to our partner, Oracle, so that we could provide better service for our customers and not compete with our partners. Those things were the major ones. And by the way, it's frequently not noticed that they were accomplished in a relatively short time, quite smoothly, and at full value to our shareholders, which is a real reflection on the quality of our management team here and the support staffs in finance and legal. They just did an excellent job in getting these things done in a timely fashion.
Do the current revenue totals exclude any revenues from storage and RDB? Is that what's not included in this revenue total?
For the second quarter, it is impacted by both of those divestitures, particularly the storage one, which is not included at all. Approximately half of the RDB products revenues are included in the quarter, however. Despite that reduction, you see good solid growth in product revenues.
So no storage revenue is counted, and about half of RDB revenues are included.
That's correct.
Can you put a dollar amount on how much revenue you sold off in the last year or last 6 months?
We have previously indicated in other conferences that the total impact of the planned divestiture activity was less something in the order of a $1 billion run rate.
Okay. Thank you.
Excuse me, that's $1 billion annualized run rate.
Thanks.
Other questions?
Susan Amos, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Susan Amos from Deck Computing. How much revenue comes from the Intel side of the business?
Well, that PC side of our business, or the Intel architecture, as you know, Digital is a two-architecture company with Intel and Alpha, is about 25% of our product revenues.
Okay.
Been growing very rapidly, as you know. Near as I can tell, it's certainly among the leaders, if not the leaders, in terms of revenue growth. As Vin mentioned, calendar 94 essentially was a doubling over calendar 93. So very impressive growth there.
So now you get more revenue from Intel than Alpha. If from the Intel side it's 25% and from Alpha it's 20%.
Well, yes.
Do you make more money from Alpha or do you make more money from Intel?
Just one point. As a percent of product revenues, that's correct. They're both growing rapidly. In percentage terms, Alpha is growing more rapidly than the revenues from our Intel-based architectures. It's fairly interesting, though, looking at the size of those businesses and how rapidly the Alpha is growing. Since the Intel architecture was introduced in the early 1980s and the Alpha architecture was introduced 2 years ago, it's fairly remarkable that they're approximately the same size, you know, in terms of revenues for systems.
But profit-wise, do you make more profit from the Intel side of the business or from the Alpha side?
Typically, in the computer industry, the margins are thinner on PC and PC Intel architecture products, and that would be the case at Digital. As the system complexities increase, typically the margins also increase. And so if you look at a very a high-end system with capability and a lot of value added that you can't buy anywhere else, clearly that has a better profit potential than a product that is essentially undifferentiated like a desktop PC, except in terms of the quality and the reputation of the vendor. So it's a reasonable assumption that Alpha in general has better margins associated with it.
So is that a yes to you making more money from the Alpha side of the business? Or
We don't actually break out our profitability by product line. I would think that was perhaps even a too verbose answer to your question, but should lead you to the appropriate conclusion. May I have another question, please?
Joanna Bean, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Joanna Bean from the Gazette-Telegraph newspaper in Colorado Springs. Going back to the multi-vendor side of the service business, can you tell me what percent of your service revenue comes from multi-vendor activity, and how fast is the multi-vendor activity growing?
Well, that side of our business is about 15% of the revenues, growing more than 50% year over year. It's just really exciting to see the success we've had there. Of course, customers don't want to deal with half a dozen different vendors, and they frequently have equipment from half a dozen different vendors, so they'd prefer to have one service organization that can provide the remedial services as well as software updates and other services, network integration services, and things of that nature. So Digital is really doing quite well in that area. The network integration service business is growing rapidly. There from Colorado Springs, we have, as you know, one of our remote diagnostic centers that is really the envy of our competitors in terms of the capability that we have there in order to enables us to do software updates electronically and remote diagnostics. And these are areas that we continue to invest in, and Digital is recognized in our service organization as really the benchmark organization. We have approximately 19,000 service professionals worldwide. We support our products in over 100 countries. So it's a very important part of our business. Hopefully that would be an adequate answer, but I'd take a follow-up if you have one.
Well, I actually had a follow-up to your very first question, which was you were comparing the growth rate for Alpha versus previous products, and you said it took 5 years for VAX revenue to equal the PDP line.
Yes.
And then I lost you on the last part, that Alpha has in 3 years...
Actually, in just over 2 years, Alpha has not only equaled revenues on our VAX platforms, but now is almost twice as large. Not quite, but almost twice as large as the VAX revenues. So, in other words, if we say that Alpha is in excess of 20% of product revenue, the VAX line is in the 11-12% kind of range. So,
currently,
it's really amazing that that occurred in only 2 years. And my comment about how quickly that occurred, I don't believe there are other illustrations of computer hardware vendors where you've introduced an entirely new architecture with increased address space. So like when we went from the PDP-11, it was a 16-bit machine, to a 32-bit machine, which is the VAX. It took about 5 years for enough applications to be available on the VAX that it could outsell the previous architecture. Today, we've got more than 6,000 applications on the Alpha architecture and adding more every week, and so... Alpha has been enabled by that, by the attractiveness of the platform and its performance, to exceed the VAX revenues almost by a factor of two in only 2 years. And again, of course, Alpha is a 64-bit architecture replacing the 32-bit, the first 64-bit architecture in the marketplace. So it's really quite impressive.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Next question, please.
Liz Gully. Please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yes, hello. Liz Galise with Bloomberg Business News. I have a question about that core systems business unit, which had been the trouble spot in the spring and through the summer. Is that profitable yet? Was it profitable in the second quarter?
No, the core systems business unit is not profitable. It's on its plan to achieve break-even by the end of the fiscal year. A year ago, when we set about to transform the company and to redesign the way in which we bring our systems from the point of view to market, from the point of view of marketing, getting the requirements, doing the engineering, introducing the product, supporting it after the fact, and in fact, managing the entire life cycle, we have completely redefined, re-engineered that process. And in the course of doing so, of course, we are improving our margins as well as reducing our below-the-line costs. We've made tremendous progress. Enrico Pessatori, who is responsible for that transformation, is, I would say, to a first approximation, right on plan, and he has optimism that he will achieve his objective, which is to break even in the core systems business unit by the end of the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
You're quite welcome. Next question.
Paul Nestor, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Paul Nestor, Digital News and Review. Bob, what is it about France and Germany, two significant countries, that makes it so difficult to achieve profitability, and what actions are you taking to correct this?
Well, in each country, and in particular the two that you mentioned, have their own local laws and their local customs with respect to restructuring. And in some companies, or countries rather, there's more flexibility than others. In our case, in the German subsidiary, as you know, we had made some acquisitions prior to current management being responsible, and we needed to work through those acquisitions because they did not work out favorably. And so that presented us with a dilemma. We had a very innovative solution to that problem that was implemented during the second quarter, which will reduce our expenses going forward and will enable us to focus on growing the business again. You know, despite that, I was pleased with the performance of our German subsidiary. A lot of management attention units were focused on finding an acceptable solution for our employees, for the unions, and for our customers, and we achieved that. A lot of hard work was done there. I'm optimistic that a similar success will be achieved in France, although we can't say so at this time. We're optimistic because we've seen some movement in the discussions and an understanding or an acceptance of the reality of our subsidiary in France, which is losing money and which has to restructure in order to return to a profitable situation. So we're continuing to work on that one, and we think that we'll have a resolution of some sort by the end of the fiscal year, although there are no guarantees. So every country that we do business in, which as I mentioned is more than 100, has its own laws and customs, and Digital is quite intent on being consistent with those customs and laws and working out a solution to our cost structure problems that is acceptable to all of the parties that have an interest.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next question.
Steve Burke, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Steve Burke, Computer Reseller News. Bob, can you talk a little bit about what impact the Intel's Pentium problems might have had on Alpha, and do you see any increased opportunity as a result of that? Number two, Digital's a very big service company, as you mentioned. How many Digital customers do you expect to replace their Pentium chips as a percentage of the installed base that you guys sold?
Well, on the Pentium issue, it hasn't been a big problem for Digital, even though we were an early leader in Pentium system shipments. But we have quite clear with our policy that any customer that would like a replacement, we're quite well prepared, and we will replace the chip with the new chip that doesn't have the flaw. It wasn't a material issue here, to my knowledge, one way or another. We had very little, actually, customer call about the subject, at least for our customer base. Relative to opportunities for Alpha, I didn't notice any particular change one way or another. The Alpha business is growing very strongly, as is our PC-based business. And for Digital, we're a two-platform company. Occasionally, people have tried to position the Alpha platforms in conflict with the Intel platforms, and that's an inappropriate understanding of the strategy. The strategy for Digital is to have two platforms that go all the way from mobile and portable devices, desktop devices, desk side, department-level PC clusters based on Intel architecture, and a complete line of Alpha RISC-based architecture as well, going workstations all the way up to what is equivalent to supercomputers. And so it's a very complementary situation as opposed to a conflict situation, and the strategy seems to be working since both of those businesses are growing very rapidly.
Bob, one last thing. Can you just talk about the profitability of the PC business here for the critical fourth quarter?
The fourth quarter, it's hard for me to forecast. We prefer not to. We have our objective is, of course, to be profitable in PC operations. It's a very big piece of our business, as we just mentioned. Margins are very tight in that business, and of all the things you have to forecast, that's one of the more difficult. As you know, we just had an outstanding reception in the marketplace to the new line of portables that we designed and introduced, the High Note and the High Note Ultra. There's tremendous demand there, and we're ramping up our production. I think the opportunities for us are quite clear, and now it's up to us to execute and meet that demand.
I'm sorry, Bob. I meant the quarter we're talking about here.
Oh, the second quarter, like the fourth calendar quarter. In that quarter, the PC operations, well, you know, the reality is on this whole subject is we don't want to get into the habit of breaking out by business unit the performance. And so I'd prefer not to say, but let's say it's close, very close to profitability so far as PCs are concerned.
Thank you very much.
Other questions?
Stephanie LaPola, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, this is Stephanie LaPola from PC Week. Going on the success of Alpha, I know Mike Ritz is trying to take it in a different direction by spearheading a strong push of Digital's Alpha chip to the OEM customers. I'm wondering if you expect the OEM chip sales to capture a significant percentage of revenue for digital this year, or is that a long-term strategy?
Well, the chip sales are, relative to digital's overall revenues, not a material issue, but the issue there is to help the semiconductor operations reduce its overall expenses by loading the facilities more, and also by helping to establish the architecture much more broadly. So we have a variety of chip implementations, everything from embedded control type chips to the full-blown industry-leading performing chips that, you know, like 300 megahertz product. So it's a very broad spectrum. We really don't see any major impact on the company relative to those chip sales, but we are winning a lot of design-ins, and eventually those we hope will turn into some volume.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Other questions?
David Valente, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yes, thank you. I'm with IDC. I wonder if you could elaborate on the significant uptick in the Asia-Pacific region. Was it specific to demand in Japan, across the region? How much did currency play in that?
I'm sorry. Unfortunately, our speakerphone here faded out toward the end of your question. We've had very strong growth in revenues in the Asia-Pacific region, but I lost the other part of the question.
Yes, was it specific to Japan in terms of a fundamental change of the margin in demand, or was it more broadly based across the region?
Well, it was primarily the majority of that growth was in the Asia region, although we had growth in Japan. Japan was not dominant in terms of the growth that we're talking about, but clearly it's the largest market in the Asia-Pacific region, and we have a very successful subsidiary there. By the way, I was quite pleased to find that none of our employees were killed in the unfortunate tragedy that was experienced in Kobe in Japan with the earthquake, although we did have some families that were certainly impacted. And our operations are unaffected, really. We're now scrambling in Japan to make sure that we provide the disaster recovery for critical computer systems, and we're well equipped to do that. We've got a task force addressing that issue. But actually, the growth has been very strong throughout Asia for our products, and we hope that that continues.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next question, please.
Terry Shannon, please go ahead with your follow-up question.
Thank you. Bob, I know you don't like to break out profitability by business units, but can you offer any insight at all into how well the components and peripherals business unit is doing these days? We don't seem to hear much about it.
Well, they're doing quite well. I think that the issue is they move their products primarily through the indirect channels, and maybe it doesn't have quite the same cachet, but they're in very rapidly growing markets, and I'm quite encouraged with them. I would be remiss if I didn't point out that all of the business units within the components division met or exceeded their plans. And they had aggressive plans because they're in growth markets, particularly the network hardware, network software products, our storage subsystems, which, as you know, we remain very active in the storage subsystems business, even though we divested ourselves of the disk and heads components part of that business. Our printer business is growing rapidly, and just in general, the components and peripherals is doing well.
Okay, thank you.
I'm glad you asked the question. I just had neglected it. We got such a broad range of products and services at this company, sometimes just inadvertently failed to give appropriate credit.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next question.
William Bulkley, please go ahead with your follow-up question.
I'm with the Wall Street Journal in Boston. I noticed that your R&D was down about 25% year over year, and I wondered whether you think you can sustain new product development with that level of spending?
Yes, is the answer. Actually, I look at the new products that we've just introduced. Now, I should make it very clear, though, a good deal of that R&D reduction is associated with the divestment of our storage business in the heads and disks business. There was quite a bit of investment going on there in developing new head technology and new disks, and that was acquired by Quantum when they acquired the business from Digital in the second quarter. But in general, I'm very optimistic about the level of spending. We're now on a percent of revenue basis comparable to the other companies with similar product lines in the industry. We've achieved, really ahead of schedule, about 7% of revenue on R&D, and I expect it to stay approximately that number, although we have it different by different business unit as appropriate to their specific models. Digital is still investing on an annualized basis approximately $1 billion in research and development. This places Digital in the top 10 of companies, industrialized companies investing in research and development, and it's clearly a huge amount of money and adequate to fuel the continued implementation of our strategy and the development of leadership products.
Thank you.
Other questions? You're welcome.
Steve Burke, please go ahead with your follow-up question.
Bob, you talked a little bit about Unix business up 100% year over year. I believe that was for Alpha. Can you talk about how that relates to Windows NT and just what percentage of sales you're seeing for the different operating systems on Alpha at this point?
Well, the growth in Windows NT is quite dramatic as well, but it's from a smaller base, so we didn't dwell on it. I think a year from now we might have a lot more to say about it, and by then I think it'll be a material piece of our business. Because clearly we're extremely well positioned to benefit from success of Windows NT in the marketplace, since we have both the Intel architecture and the Alpha architecture, and we've been working with Microsoft in this very strategic relationship for almost 3 years. So I think in the future that's going to be a big deal. And current demand is out there primarily for the Unix operating system, and as you noted, growing 100% year over year is quite encouraging. It's a reflection of the fact that Digital's implementation is the most open of all of our competitors as measured by independent analysts, more compliant with Spec 1170 than the competitors, and our intention is to achieve full compliance with that implementation of the operating system. Of course, it's the only 64-bit Unix operating system out there, so that's also helpful, and we were very late getting started. On a positive thing that may have been missed is our VMS platform business, VMS-related businesses. The decline there has essentially slowed to a stop. I mean, VMS continues to be a very, very important mission-critical operating system for literally thousands of customers, and I was gratified to see that the decline in VMS that we've been experiencing had stopped as far as platform implementation and revenue. I think the picture is pretty clear. Aggressive growth in Unix and in NT, although from a smaller base, with a stabilizing in revenues associated with the VMS.